You're listening to a podcast from Newstalk ZB. Follow this and our wide range of podcasts now on iHeartRadio. Newstalk ZB.
Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn Hart, and we are looking back at Thursday. We are trying to get kids back to school, which means that even if they've got a little bit of a sniffle, send them back anyway. Apparently, we're doing everything we can to try and convince people that school is awesome and everyone should go. Mike Hosking thinks coal is awesome and everyone should keep using it. And Marcus is blaming the customer when they complain about customer service. But before any of that, the police have said, no, your pay offer is not good enough. Please come back to us. Proceed in an orderly direction to the nearest egress and go and have a little think about a higher offer.
If it was Poto Williams in charge, sure, you wouldn't have much in the way of expectations. But when you have a former cop in the form of Mark Mitchell and you have a former cop and police association advocate, Casey Costello, in charge of the portfolio, you would expect more than platitudes. I do not blame the police for being brassed off at all. They were led to believe, they were told to believe, that under this government things would be different. That hasn't happened. You know, Mark Mitchell saying that the economy is in a parlous state. So what? Yes, it is. So make the savings somewhere else. I'm assuming that MPs won't be accepting their pay rise, that they will introduce legislation, which they can do, to turn it down, to say, look, I'm sorry, under these conditions, we simply cannot accept a pay rise. Take that money, give it to the police. Obviously, it's not as simple as that, but seriously, if I was a police officer, I would be brassed off. You've been led to expect much, and this government hasn't delivered. Kind words and passionate rhetoric do not pay the mortgage or the grocery bill.
And it's fun being a politician, isn't it? Everybody loved Mark Mitchell before he was actually in charge of everything, and now he's the bad guy.
News Talk ZBean.
Is demonising Mark Mitchell, is that what Heather is also about with regards to this stalled police pay talks?
I'll give you some numbers, okay? The police starting pay rate is slightly more than $56,000 a year. A registered nurse's starting pay rate is, by contrast, just slightly under $76,000 a year. That's a $20,000 difference when both of these people start. That's big. Now, granted, nurses obviously train for multiple years and police don't put in multiple years worth of training to get the job. But then on the other hand, I guess police, you know, risk getting killed on the job. So each job is slightly different. Teachers were given 6% plus odds and sods recently. Police are, by contrast, being offered 4% plus odds and sods. It doesn't feel fair. Now, I understand why the new government wants to hold the line on these negotiations with the cops, because this is the first big bargaining that they've had to confront since being elected, and it sets a tone, doesn't it, for the other unions. If the government gives the cops a lot, then the teachers and the nurses and the public servants who are all unionised will also want a lot, and vice versa. If the government is hard on the cops, the others will in turn expect less. And I do accept that, you know, when the country's broke, that is very important. But it is not more important than our police being able to pay their bills and actually feeling adequately rewarded for the work that they do for us.
I'm uncomfortable about comparing completely different jobs and wondering why the pay isn't the same. That's a very slippery slope. It's like the whole pay transparency thing that they're trying to do in Australia. I mean, if people found out how much I got paid for, you know, sitting here playing with computers, showing off and telling jokes, it'd be a bloody outcry. And I'm not saving anybody's life or, you know, running down ram raiders or trying to teacher kid full of a class full of kids who aren't there because
News Talk Zed Bean.
Yeah, how do you teach a class full of kids who aren't there, and how do we make them get back there? Apparently, if they've got a bit of a sniffle, we're letting them stay home, and that's not right, apparently.
Post-COVID, we need to get these kids back to school. We need to get our immune systems back to where they were pre-COVID when we didn't have these issues.
Mm.
So he's fully in support of kids going to school with the minor sniffs and niggles and things like that, because it's going to help the country and the kids get their immune systems back up to where they need to be.
Mm. Well, that's great to hear him say that. And he'd certainly know. He's a GP and he's been chair of the General Practitioners Association in the past, so he knows his stuff. I mean, I suppose, yeah, I get his point that there needs to be a rebalance, right? It was some crazy times over the pandemic years, and we've gone probably too far in the other direction about being worried how sick we could get. Was that his point?
Yep, exactly. And I think the other thing is that this is, you know, people are getting wound up over one little part of a process to get our kids back to school.
Mm.
And this is just one part. Let's be honest. The problem is large and it's widespread.
You think that's right, that people build up their immunity by being exposed to more sick people? I feel like a lot of the teachers I know are sick all the time because they've just got snotty kids around them all the time. Oh, so gross. I can't even bear to think about it.
News Talk Zed Bean.
Now, out of nowhere, the Hosk has decided to go on a pro-coal rant. And why wouldn't he?
He's also going to make it easier to dig for coal, he's announced. Coal, as he points out in terms of extraction, is not dissimilar to extracting lots of other minerals. And although there are a small but loud group of people that want to extract basically nothing, what happens when you don't have energy is you either have to bring it into the country or you sit in the dark a lot. In a week where we learned we will need 10 times the power we currently use just to search the net, given AI sucks up a shedload more power than your current Google search, it might be time to get a little bit real about what makes wheels turn. While we wait for solar and wind and whatever else to get approved and brought online, the simple truth remains we make most of our energy out of water, which is good, a little bit out of the hot stuff under the ground, which is good, but we still need coal. And because we really can't look for more coal, the same way we haven't been able to look for more oil, we've got a little bit stuck. So we had the absurdity of importing coal from Indonesia. And not only was it coal, but it was coal not nearly as good as our coal, thus defeating the entire purpose of saving the planet. Speaking of which, surely the numbers also out this week once and for all bury this falsehood that the world is turning on climate. We have one, never used more coal than we're using now, and demand has gone up again in the past year, but two, we are planning and opening more mines than ever before, led, of course, by China. China, along with a long list of players from Greece to Vietnam to Pakistan to Korea to Bangladesh to Japan, they're all opening mines. No, not ideal. But as Jones points out, utopia in the form of renewables at a level of 100% is years away. Meantime, back to the real world.
It does seem weird, doesn't it, that in order to power the internet, we have to burn fossil fuels? It's... We've got sort of steam-powered AI. It's very strange.
News Talk, Zed Bean.
Who do we complain to about all this? Well, apparently, if you complain, it's probably your fault. Well, that's according to Marcus, anyway.
But I would think, and look, don't. I reckon if you're grizzling about customer service, you're doing it wrong. Because normally, if you're trying to interact with anyone to purchase, like a to use the service of a hire car or a motel or anything like that, you do it all online. It's just you're just clicking on a booking form, aren't you? I mean, I hate to say it, but if you're talking to people, you're probably doing it wrong. Now, tell me if I'm wrong there, but I think that's probably the way it works. The businesses don't want to talk to you; they just want you to tick the boxes. And fortunately, they've got pretty good websites now that will actually can work out most scenarios. But yeah, I think probably complaining about customer service is something people did 5 years ago or 10 years ago, because I'm sure most companies wouldn't prioritise customer service.
He's kind of right about that. I prefer not to have to deal with a person. That's how much not a people person I am. I'd rather just... I like to book things online. I like to buy things online. I don't want to have to go to a shop. I don't want, certainly don't want to have to make a phone call. So if I can avoid any kind of customer service, then I have nothing to complain about. What I do complain about more often than not these days is when you can't do that. And that's very frustrating. If the online experience, you know, if I can't order my takeaways online, change my mobile plan online. I mean, how ridiculous is that? I was trying to change a phone plan the other day and I had to ring somebody to do it. I don't want to be talking on the phone to talk on the phone. Just giving myself another headache. I'll take some pills and come back on Monday with another News Talk ZBeen. It'll be the weekend edition. See you then.
News Talk. ZBeen. For more from News Talk ZB, listen live, on air, or online, and keep our shows with you wherever you go with our podcasts on iHeartRadio.